It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast. This is Tariq joining you from Bangalore along with Karan from Gurgaon.
Hey guys. Hello.
All right, Karan, so we are here since we recorded the last episode about 6 days ago. We were talking about the Matchday 1 wrap for the Champions League. Of course, we have to record that episode, but there is hardly anything to talk about on Matchday 1.
Yeah, nothing really much.
I mean, besides, it was just Ronaldo who was sent off for a contentious red card. It was just a wonder goal from a free kick from Lionel Messi and a hat-trick. It was just one of the biggest shockers of the tournament when Olympique Lyon traveled to Etihad and beat Manchester City. It was just a 3-2 thriller to kick things off in that group of death between Liverpool and PSG. And we also had an early Europa League clash between Inter and Dortmund.
Yeah, so basically just another week of football.
All right, but all jokes aside, Karan, one of the friends of the pod, Manas Mittal, on Twitter was saying that every year, 90s Arnold Schwarzenegger style, Champions League football says, I'll be back. And then every September, it drives through the gate on match day one. And that's what it did again this time. So Karan, where do you want to begin? All right. So that was a game that lived up to its billing. Liverpool facing PSG, both high-octane offences. It was felt that it was going to be a cracker of a Champions League game, Karan. We got a cracker of a Champions League game. 3-2 Liverpool, but not before a ton of drama all around.
Well, I think that's standard Liverpool, if you may. They pull off some absolutely phenomenal results in the process, sending a good number of their fans to the ER. I think it's going to be a very fun season following Liverpool, similar to last year. But I think with regards to the game, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. Two high-octane team who are extremely wonderful to watch going forward. Defensively, well, there's a lot of question marks with both teams. I think it was a case of Liverpool just making the additional big match experience count, because we know that PSG, when it comes to big games, they have kind of flattered to deceive in recent seasons. So it was pretty much a case of Liverpool managing it better, though I think for a large portion of the game we had our own doubts.
Right, and of course the goals coming from a certain number of familiar faces and certain unfamiliar faces, in the sense that people who haven't gotten game time recently, and that was Daniel Sturridge, who came in because Roberto Firmino did not start after sustaining a bit of an eye injury. But Sturridge scored with a header to open his Champions League count for the season, and then Firmino came in to score the winning goal after Liverpool, like you said, characteristically had let in a relatively easy goal at the end of the first half, which made it 2-1, and then the equalizer, which, well, with somebody like Mbappe in the team, surely you expect PSG to pull off something like that. But the key question, Karan, did PSG blow a chance to walk away with point or points from Anfield?
Well, you would have to say yes, because having gone 2-0 down, in the first half, and somehow managing to get that goal prior to halftime would have been a huge morale booster for PSG, and on the contrary would have been a real punch in the face for Liverpool. And coming and then later on in the second half, somehow managing to get that equalizer, especially towards the latter stages of the game, you would have expected them to kind of see the game out, which is where I think like I mentioned earlier, PSG's big match experience really kind of, you know, hinders their progress in this competition on a regular basis, because they, for all the talent that they have, they just don't seem to have that fight. And like we've described Tottenham of the past, right? They seem to have a really soft underbelly.
Right. And surely Thomas Tuchel has to be thinking of, you had Neymar doing defensive duties, and of course, we saw how that turned out. He was almost embarrassing for the world's costliest footballer, who is supposedly at a club where he's supposed to reach the next level of his potential. This sounds like somebody was sent to the Osho Ashram, and then things unraveled like in Wild Wild Country, the Netflix documentary.
Yeah, I think with Neymar especially, you know, you do expect a lot more. Okay, fair enough. Maybe not on the defensive side of things, but at least going forward, you know, I think it's expected that he do a lot more, especially in these big games, you know, for the club, because let's face it, that's what he's been brought for. I think PSG can win domestically with maybe even their under-21 side, it wouldn't be much of a surprise. But the Champions League is what they are desperate for, and if they're really serious about, you know, making making serious progress into this competition, they really need to look at the mental side of their game, because from a talent perspective, like I said, there's absolutely no question. But again, making sure that their tactics as well as their mental setup is in line with what is expected in this competition is going to be very, very important for them.
And it's going to be interesting when the return leg of this comes around. We'll have to wait quite a while for that to come around, but it will be one heck of a return leg, possibly, when we go to Paris.
I think if it was any other team, I would say, you know what, now that they've beaten pretty much a direct rival for the top spot at home, it might not be a bad idea for them to go there and get a point. But with Liverpool, that is just not possible. And they're either going to blow PSG away in Paris, or they're going to get blown away in the process.
And of course, we know they've started with 6 wins out of 6, which is rather astonishing. Let's see if they can keep this up. Speaking of trying to maintain a spotless record but failing, speaking of the mental side of the game, we saw two contrasting examples, Karan, and which we are going to get into now. One was at the Etihad, where Manchester City, shockingly went down 2-0 to Lyon, and then despite pulling a goal back, there wasn't enough time for them to salvage any points out of that. Complacency, or just simply a bad day in the office?
I think we have to definitely write it down to complacency, because a team like Manchester City, with the kind of ambition that they have, the kind of resources that they have at their disposal, they cannot afford to have an off day in the office, especially in this competition. I think what it boiled down to was, I think City basically took a look at the group that they've been dealt, and pretty much came into the Etihad thinking that treating it like just another Premier League game, and they were just going to breeze past Lyon. And, you know, they were found wanting, and rightfully so, they were punished.
Clearly, no, Lyon did not get that memo, because they hit the ground running, they hit City on the counter. And the point that you were making earlier, that it just may be that Manchester City are actually missing the services of a certain Kevin De Bruyne.
It certainly looks like it. I mean, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't think that would be the case, because this is a squad with an embarrassment of riches, which can, you know, on paper, you know, they have the talent equivalent to teams such as Real or maybe even Barcelona in many ways. But when it comes to performance, it's a completely different story. And with the kind of investments that they've made in recent seasons, that shouldn't be the case where, you know, one player's absence really kind of, you know, changes their entire approach to the game. It seems like, you know, he's the only creative spark, especially in these big games. In the Premier League, they're able to get away with it because, the opposition, most of them, seem to be in awe of them, and they kind of lose the battle even before they get onto the field. But it's a whole different story in Europe.
Okay. And finally, Karan, to the other contrast in terms of mental makeup, we go to the Mestalla, Juventus versus Valencia. We thought this group would be a tight one, but having had had a look at Valencia. Now we feel it's down to Juventus and Manchester United, really. Barring anything spectacular, they're the two who should be progressing from this group. But the Juventus-Valencia game was not without drama. Juventus ran away 2-0 winners. On the face of it, you would not have thought much of that result. It's impressive, especially given that it is away, because we thought that Valencia might put up a bigger fight than that. But what is even more astonishing is Juve did this with 10 men for practically three quarters of the game. And secondly, Karan, the biggest talking point, straight red card to Ronaldo, which could have implications for coming games. We'll find out soon enough how that is going. But the most straightforward question, was it a red, was it not?
No, it wasn't a red. I think that was brutally obvious for anyone watching, except maybe if you're a Messi fan. But or rather Messi plastic fan. But yeah, all joking aside, as we all know, at least here in soccer, since we're not ones to really sit and moan about refereeing decisions, but that was an extremely, extremely amateurish decision. I mean, there was virtually nothing in it. And, they've just given a straight red for that. I do not blame the referee for this, to be honest, because it was more the linesman. The referee's basically gone by what the official behind the goal has basically told him, and who supposedly has a better view of that particular incident. And going by the replays, it's just not clear as to what it is that he's actually seen kind of warrant a red card for that.
If anything, it looked like Ronaldo was obviously annoyed at the defender having gone down without evidently there not being not much contact. He went back. Ronaldo, we know, is a hyper competitor. He probably was about to blow the fuse and then sort of held himself back because he just sort of pushed at the head of the defender, and it looked like he was doing his utmost to reel himself back in and not do anything untoward, which sort of makes it even more bizarre.
True, but I think if you're Ronaldo, you also need to be a bit more smart about these things. I mean, that's easier said than done. I mean, in the emotion of the moment, you do tend to kind of, do things such as this. But I mean, it's pretty ironic that kind of talking about Ronaldo being maybe unhappy about a player diving, which is kind of funny in its own way. But I think having said that, he should realize by now that he is somebody who's going to be targeted by the opposition one way or the other, and maybe going forward he needs to be a bit more smart about how we handle these situations.
Okay, and of course down to the football now. Because there was a football match after Ronaldo got sent off, although for a lot of fans around the world, the match probably ended right there. But impressive from Juventus, Karan. I mean, bad as Valencia have been, it was impressive adaptability from this Juventus side to quickly turn around and make sure that they came back with the points. And not just that, this was actually a pretty impressive performance overall.
The sending off, Juventus, I think, should get about two or three goals up. They missed quite a few chances.
Including one from Ronaldo himself.
Including one from Ronaldo, exactly. So, from a creative perspective, there isn't really nothing much that you can complain about in that sense. Maybe, finishing is something that you really need to look at. But I guess the most impressive thing was the fact that they were reduced to 10 men and still being able to keep themselves organized defensively to make sure that, Valencia didn't really hardly got a sniff at any point during the game. Yes, there were periods where, Valencia were kind of dominating positions and putting crosses in, but nothing that really tested the goalkeeper. And I think in this scenario, credit really must be given to Chiellini for the way he kind of marshalled the defense and marshalled basically the entire team to kind of make sure everybody were kind of concentrating and organized for the remainder of the game.
And up front, of course, there were a few adjustments that they had to quickly make, and that was probably even more impressive, that given Allegri's generally pragmatic, which essentially translates to defensive approach, especially in games where he doesn't want to lose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's been a big change, and I hope that continues through the season, because you know, when they do, when they are allowed to kind of, you know, go forward and play to their strengths, Juventus can be as attractive as anyone to watch, and they can be as you know, brutal on the oppositions as anyone. And I think that was definitely, you know, one of the big positives to kind of come out of this. I think one player who definitely, you know, deserves a lot of credit. I know I mentioned Chiellini already, and a lot of people have been talking about Chiellini and, you know, Pjanic for his goals as well as for his distribution. But I think Bernardeschi is one player who definitely deserves a lot of credit for his, for the kind of performance that he put in through the game. I think he's probably the most improved player in the squad. And of course, Mandzukic, of course, you know, did a great job at left back.
And of course, is Mandzukic, the Italian, I mean, the Serie A's James Milner, in effect, in terms of his versatility. And finally, Karan, we wrap the show up because we are sort of running out of time. Appropriately enough, with Tottenham versus Inter Milan, Inter Milan making a comeback to the Champions League after a long time, which is why this had kind of a Europa League tie feel. But Tottenham taking the one goal lead and then throwing it away.
Yeah, pretty much. I think for a good portion of the game, both teams did play like as if they were playing a Europa League match, to be honest. But I think Tottenham, what can you say about them? It's just typical of what you kind of come to expect from them. 2 years in a row, throwing away a lead, a winning position against an Italian club. I think they really need to kind of straighten their act out if they have, you know, serious ambitions of getting far in this competition. Inter Milan, in many ways, to be honest, fair enough. They got the 3 points. One a wonder strike from Icardi really kind of got them going, but there's still a lot of work to be done from their end as well, because in many ways this result does kind of, you know, flatter them.
All right, and we shall of course keep an eye on all of those and the rest of the groups. Generally, the rest of the groups went pretty according to plan, except for the ones that we talked about. And shockingly enough, Manchester City now reside at the bottom of their group. But it is just match day one. There is a lot to come. And we'll, of course, be bringing you all of that. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at SenseSoccer. You can follow us on Audioboom at audioboom.com/channel/soccerdesk Sense. Or you can subscribe to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting platforms. We are on iTunes, we are on Pocket Cast, we are also on Google Podcasts now. So if you are looking us up there, you can find us. And that's all the time we have for this week. This is Tariq signing off along with Karan.
See you guys.
And see you guys the next time when hopefully Ronaldo does not see a direct red and does manage to get the trip to Old Trafford.